What's up, guys? What's going on? Welcome to New Perceptions Podcast with me, your host, Ben Brown. This is episode 9 of the podcast, and this is one of the podcasts that I kind of like to call Journey Notes, where I'm really just kind of sharing what I've been learning lately, or what I've been up to, what I've been making, who I've been meeting, just kind of a way of filling you guys in and keeping you up to date for those who are interested in what's going on in my life. So, journey notes, and literally, journey notes for me, sometimes I'm pulling segments of the note out of my notebooks. I've become very fond of writing things down that I'm learning in order to better remember them, firstly, also, and just kind of process stuff. It's good to get stuff out. I'll talk about that in a minute with journaling. But yeah, what I've been learning recently regarding my own personal journey, my own inner work, my healing journey, awakening, paradigm shift, or whatever you want to call it, basically. But today's podcast, I'm going to be talking a little bit more in depth about something I've been thinking about a lot at the moment, which is shame, shaming people and feeling shame, and what kind of impact that has or has had on my life and continues to have on my life to some degree. And I think a lot of people, shame, we'll talk about it more in a minute, but yeah, shame is something that everybody has to deal with at some stage, and it's not necessarily a bad thing all the time. But yeah, we'll chat about that in a minute. But first of all, thank you everybody who's leaving reviews on the podcast. Really, really appreciate it. And everybody who's giving me feedback on the podcast. And I know a couple of the early podcasts are maybe a little bit quiet. I've just got, to be honest, a cheap microphone that's plugged into my phone or my iPad. And I just hope that I can't really listen to it at the same time. I don't really have that kind of recording set up yet. Although with Jumps, we were using, on the previous podcast, we were using Ella's podcast setup, which is far more professional. And it shows, like, the audio is really good on it, I know. So I'm going to be investing in a bit more gear or using Ella's more often, and just generally aiming to increase the quality of this, of the podcast as much as I can. But thank you for your feedback. It is noted. Someone else, so if you guys want to send me any feedback on the podcast or individual, not just the podcast, but the actual episodes where I either have guests in or I'm doing a journey notes where I'm talking about a specific topic, and you want to get involved in a conversation, although on Instagram I can't accept and allow all of my DMs, I do read them. But also a really good way to give me feedback or let me know what's happening on Instagram is through tagging me in a story. Let me know what's cutting and I'll see those. And sometimes I might even repost them, usually the ones with good feedback, because that's the general direction that I'm hoping for. And I'm trying to engineer it as much as possible in that direction. But obviously that's a joke. I like all feedback, and you are entitled to your opinion about everything that I'm saying and doing. And it will be received with love. And I will say thank you very much for it. But yeah, send me an Instagram story. Tag me in that shit. Also, recently, I just want to let you guys know that I put another film out. I say another film. I finally put a film out, more like. It's a film that I shot in Scotland. It's out on my YouTube channel right now. It's called Deeper Than Film. And it's an excuse to go and shoot in Scotland and get away for a week. But no, not really. I tried to make it obviously a little bit deeper than that and have some kind of message behind it about imagination and how music triggers my imagination into wanting to create visuals that accompany the emotions that the music helps deliver me, you know. So yeah, it's got a little bit of a voiceover, and that was made possible by an amazing company called MusicBed, and they are not sponsoring this podcast, but I'm going to tell you about them anyway a little bit because they're epic. Filmmakers like myself have struggled for a while to like find good music to use, and it's always a bit of a battle. So if you're a filmmaker and you want good new music, MusicBed have actually made it really easy now to access all sorts of different genres of music, really high quality. And it used to be that you have to pay a one-off license fee, and sometimes you still do, depending on if you're going to stick this stuff on the television with millions of people watching it. Obviously, you're going to have to pay a bit of a license for it. But if you're a YouTuber like me and you just want to stick your movies on YouTube and still have millions of people look at them sometimes, oi, then you're going to want to pay like not thousands and thousands of pounds for a piece of music. So MusicBed, you can do a subscription service. And if you sign up, you get three months for free. So follow the link below and go and check it out, because I use their music for lots of stuff and I think they're amazing, and I wouldn't be working with them if I didn't think they were the best in the business. And music is incredibly important to me, for a multitude of reasons, but also because I'm a filmmaker. And it's the old silent films are a bit out of fashion these days. What else has been going on? It's been a while since I did a podcast last, and the last one I did was with my friend Jumps, who is a new friend of mine. And thank you for all the feedback, the thousands and thousands of people that have been listening. A bunch of you have been saying that you really enjoyed it. It's a bit of a journey that me and Jumps go on this podcast. I think we were both a little bit nervous to do it, but we talk about his professional photography stuff. We talk about just like life, really, a lot of stuff. We talk about a lot of stuff. We get pretty deep, and a lot of you guys are really enjoying it, so thank you so much. And if you haven't heard me and Jumps, who's from Australia, who's a photographer, who owns a very successful print company called Salty Wings, he's got a lot of his life sussed and dialed, guys. Like, he's got a lot of insight and wisdom. He's very awakened as well. But Jumps and I are besties now, pretty much. I think we're brothers from previous lives. But Jumps also is coming to Africa Burn with me in a couple of weeks. Ooh, it's going to be sick. Anyway, less of that. Go and watch... Go and listen, rather, to the Ben and Jumps episode 8, if you haven't already. But yeah, let me know what you think about these in Instagram stories, like I said before. Write a review on iTunes or whatever your podcasting platform, app, vibe is. Really, really appreciate that. And yeah, flip. Oh, I've been getting a lot of messages recently from people asking me about meditation. Because I've been sharing more and more recently that I meditate on. I've been doing like little time lapses of me meditating on my Instagram story. And most of the time, I'm not going to lie, I do the time lapse for like a minute or two after I've done a proper meditation, because I can't really concentrate if I know I'm being filmed. And loads of people are saying, and I'm obviously in the thing, I'm like, it's changing my life. This meditation just now changed my life. Having a lot of I'm getting a lot from meditating at the moment, and people are like, how do you get into meditating? What is this meditating thing that you're doing? I think it's pretty obvious, but getting into it is, it's like, where do I start? So for me, I don't use an app anymore. I used to use Headspace, and maybe I'll get back into using Headspace at some point. But I've kind of like, meditating for me is just like, it's not about clearing your head completely. And it's about just observing what's going on up there and just being like, okay, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay. This is that. And just being the observer of your thoughts for 10, 15 minutes is like, does wonders for your physiology, like your whole body. You can calm yourself right down from feeling anxious by meditating. And It's a really good thing to do. I don't do it every single morning. I should. I try and do it most mornings. Before you reach for the phone, and try and bring your body into a state of calmness before you start reacting to things on your phone, like emails or scrolling endlessly. So yeah, it kind of like puts you in the right frame of mind. But I'm also super new to meditation, so I don't want to sit here pretending I know everything about everything. I'm just making it up as I go along, really, and sort of finding bits of information and skeptically checking out people's opinions and different techniques for meditation and things like that. But I had a really, really great great meditation the other day when I had a coffee for the first time in a while, and I haven't been drinking a lot of coffee recently, but it made me like physiologically feel like anxious. Like my heart rate was up, I was kind of shallow breathing, and although I was happy and I was like busying myself, I wasn't really getting anything done. I was sort of scatterbrained all over the place, and I thought, like, I don't actually like feeling like I've got heaps of energy, but I can't do anything with it. So I was like, okay, perfect time to practice my meditation. Sat down and I actually put headphones on, and I was listening to this sort of shamanic, like om kind of music playlist that I've made, called Meditation Station on my Spotify. And I started meditating, and it was a mess. My heart rate was still up, and the idea is you breathe. So I guess my advice for people who are getting into meditation, and apologies for those who are like yogis and experts, we'll move on from this in a minute. I just wanted to give a little tip to people who are starting to or considering trying meditation. Just, it's all about coming back to your breath. So it's about like just being aware of your breathing. So even right now I'm kind of breathing quite shallow because I'm like hunched over a microphone, but just like breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth, just really calmly. You just do that like a few times and you can already feel your body relax. And when your body starts to relax a little bit more, and you kind of harmonize your physiology, I guess, then you can start to like see better what's going on in your mind. And then start to say, okay, well, this is what I'm thinking about that's stressing me out. Because sometimes you can get stressed out. I don't even know why. And it wasn't actually anything in particular that was stressing me out this time. It was just that I'd had some coffee. But I still, after 15 minutes, managed to bring my body into a state of harmony as if I never had the coffee in 15 minutes. And I was like, that's the best meditation I've ever had. Except for this one at Africa Burn last year. But I'll tell you that story another time. I basically had a vision of me and Ella. But yeah, I'll tell you that story some other time maybe. So yeah, meditation. But if you want a bit more guidance with that kind of stuff, maybe get the Headspace app. It's really good. Yeah. What's next? Flip. Journaling. It's not just meditating that I time-lapse on my Instagram stories. Exciting stuff. I also time-lapse my journaling. It's wild. And the reason I've been doing that and sharing these things is because it's been helping me a lot. I used to journal a fair amount, maybe like two or three times a week on my computer. And I liked it because I could type really fast and it was good for my typing and blah, 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 blah. But I didn't really know why I was doing it. But now I've started again and I've started writing. And after two or three or four or five days of writing, I find that I can actually write again instead of just bashing my two little sausage thumbs on a screen typing out. We've gone from like 5-10-digit typing on a keyboard down to 2-digit typing with thumbs again. What's going on? Anyway, so I'm writing, and all I do when I'm journaling is literally just write what's on my mind. It doesn't matter. It's not like anybody's going to read it. is just about processing what's going on in your brain. And when you put stuff down on paper, it makes you, I mean, you can't write anywhere near the rate that your mind is working and that your thoughts are processing, right? It's impossible. So in order for you to process it and write it down, your mind has to go, okay, well, what are we thinking about here? And what do we want to write down? And already it's bringing a bit more order to the situation in your mind. Because I find like I can get scattered in my mind and be thinking about 100 different things. And that's kind of what the mind does. But anyway, journaling. Let me just take a sip of my tea. Oh, that's delicious. Today's podcast tea is sponsored by Insert Brand here. Could do with some money. So, actually, I'm drinking Yogi tea. But yeah, if you're a tea brand and your tea's fucking great, let's talk. And it says on the back of the tea thingy, love is subject to compassion. Interesting. Delicious tea. Immune system support tea today. I'm feeling like my immune system is battling a cold and has been for about a week now. But I haven't succumbed to the cold, which makes me feel really good that my immune system is pretty strong at the moment. Oh, but that tea is delicious. What else? Books. I've also been reading A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. Now, this book's been around for like 10 years, and I don't know why it hasn't been... I mean, I do know why it hasn't been read by me, because it just hasn't... I haven't crossed paths with it. Why would I have crossed paths with this book? I was on... like, I would have had no interest whatsoever in a book that says create a better life. Over a year ago, I was like, what do you mean create a better life? I'm creating it already. I'm all over that better life, mate. Can't you see my better life? Look, I've got a Land Rover, I've got this, I'm doing that, I've got this many subscribers. Talking about a better life, how could it get better? Little did I know, there's a lot more to life than just subscribers and Land Rovers. Oprah Winfrey says, essential spiritual teaching, one of the most valuable books I've ever read. I'm like two-thirds through it. It's changed my life completely. Oh, it says on the back here, Chris Evans says, an otherworldly genius. Chris Evans is on BBC Radio 2, so he must know what he's talking about. Yeah, I'm reading that guy. Flip, it's pretty great, you know. Just a lot of wisdom, like... it's very Piscean to feel unjust and be like, I wish someone had just given me this book when I was a teenager. But no, everything is happening in the exact order that it's supposed to, in the exact divine timing that it's supposed to be. So it turns out I got it when I was 33. But it's a game changer. So it's about spirituality a little bit. I mean, it a lot, but really it's about like, how do I summarize this? How to not let your ego and your mind control you. It sounds really weird. I know that your mind would control you. Of course, your mind controls you in a sense because you are your mind, right? Apparently not. According to Eckhart Tolle in A New Earth, you are not your mind. You are not your thoughts. And, you are not your conditioning. The mind is a tool that, is used for survival for humans. And our survival instincts mean that it's pretty easy to manipulate and sort of hardwire some behaviors and conditioning into our mind before we're even aware of it. And, I mean, before we're even aware of what a brain is, when we're a child, things that happen to us get embedded in us and sort of hardwired, like I say, into your psyche. And it's through no fault of your own, and what it's saying in this book also, through no fault of your environment, everything is exactly how it's supposed to be. And basically, like, by dissociating yourself from your mind and your thoughts, that must mean that you are, what are you then? Who am I? And the point is, he's saying, you just are. Like, you are not your body, you are not your mind, you're not your thoughts, you are not all the things that have happened to you even. You're a soul, and your body and the human existence is how you're experiencing this particular reality. And you don't have to worry about other people also who are angry or on a lower frequency or vibration, who are struggling, who bring bad energy, or because they're just like you, who, and they're also not their mind or their thoughts or their conditioning. So for me, I used to, and I usually use the example of like road rage, and I've spoken about this a little bit on Twitter, about how I've actually, from his other book, The Power of Now, I learned that there's the thing that's happening, there's your reaction to the thing that's happening, but then above that, there's you. You're neither of those things. So you can observe and be the witness to your own thoughts and see that that's just your mind and not actually you. And then you can say, oh shit, okay, flip. I'm only thinking, my mind's thinking that because this happened to me when I was younger. And I always default to fear when that happens. And fear is not a nice feeling. It's an emotion that causes me to live in the past or the future and not in the present, which then causes me to make terrible decisions. Well, not terrible decisions necessarily, but like decisions that aren't logical often. Because you're making decisions from your emotional body, and your emotions are being driven by your mind, and which is set in the future or the past, which don't even exist. So really, it's just kind of helping you come back to the present moment, where your power lies. Because yeah, and then I was like, shit. Well, if I can be the witnessing, like the witness and the observer of my thoughts, what happens when I'm feeling anxious? And then I sit there and go, okay, what's making me feel anxious? Like, okay, that's not you. That's not you either. And then you bring a big fat layer of love and forgiveness to you, the situation, whoever or whatever's caused the situation. You just bring love to it and say, look, it's okay. Then that whole lower vibration actually comes up a frequency and disappears. But yeah, you got to read it. I do a terrible job probably of explaining. Yeah, it says on the back, shattering modern ideas of ego and enlightenment, self and society. Toll lifts the veil of fear that has hung over us during this new millennium and reveals a path to happiness and health that every reader can follow. And the idea is, when you read it from start to finish and properly read it and ingest it, it will raise your frequency, I guess, so long as you understand it. If like a 3-year-old tried to read this whole thing, I don't think it would go. But no, it's a great book, so I highly recommend A New Earth. What else? I've been doing my yoga in the mornings a little bit. I've been pretty terrible recently because I've just been traveling and working, and also my 5 a.m. routine starts have been a little bit out the window. Some days I get up even before 5 a.m. I'm not sleeping in, that's for sure, but it's not quite like being at home in Cape Town where I can get up early. And like, when you're on the road, I think it's much more difficult. Well, it takes more practice, and you have to be more organized to have a routine, and I'm not practiced at it, and I'm not organized yet at bringing my routine onto the road. Shortly though, I'm sure. So let's get on to the main subject, I suppose, of hang on a minute, let me just check that this is still recording. Yeah, it is. 24 and a half minutes in, and we're still good. Yeah, the main subject that I kind of wanted to talk about, and that I've been doing like quite a lot of thinking about and research and actually work on myself personally, with my therapist, in Cape Town. This subject is shame and shamefulness. And I was like, Flip, what is this shame you talk about? Well, shame is like when you feel shame, it's a feeling, obviously. When you feel shame, it's a very low vibration. It's like a low frequency. And I feel shame often. And I feel shame for all sorts of different reasons, but I'll get into that in a minute. But the idea of talking about this is that it's helped me identify what's making me feel bad and what's putting me on a lower vibration, which is not where I want to be. Oh, it's delicious. Insert tea brand here. So recently I've had a couple of panic attacks recently, which were also caused by shame. And it's shame that I have around mistakes that I make financially with money. I find that like a very shameful thing, and I feel it makes me feel terrible and like I'm stupid, and I should have known better, you know, like all of these shameful kind of thoughts that pop into my mind. And again, something that meditation helps, like when these thoughts pop into your mind, which is totally normal, not your fault, forgive yourself and be kind, you like approach them with love. You can, if you're aware of them, that's the start, that's the beginning. Having like the unawareness of it and the unconscious thoughts, when you identify with them, you're actually being controlled by your mind autonomously, and then you'll go about your day making decisions that you think are you, but it's not you, it's your conditioning, or my conditioning. Flip, it took me bloody long enough to figure this one out. I'm 33. I think a lot of you are younger than me as well. Again, the Piscean, like, unjust, like, oh, someone should have bloody told me about this years ago. It would have made my life a lot easier, you know. But everything is exactly how it's supposed to be. And yeah, the thing about all these thoughts is, yeah, you can observe them, but then unless you give yourself love, they're just going to sneak in back through the back door. Like, shame is a good one for that. I feel shame for feeling shame. Stupid. Anyway, let's talk about shame. Yeah, so it was my 33rd birthday the other day, and we went to Bezique Festival, and it was wild, guys. I love the festival scene down in Cape Town. I'm very much looking forward to Africa Burn in a couple of weeks. Like I was saying, I had a couple of panic attacks, which actually I figured out. I even knew at the time were like financial related. But what happens is a kind of like spiral downwards into this lower vibration, and then I lose control over my mind, and then more bad thoughts come piling on top, and then it gets worse and worse and worse, and you spiral down. I'm sure some of you have experienced this horrible sort of depressive state of anxiety, and I'm sure a few of you experience it about money, just like me. I'm always been pretty bad with money, and I've always felt shame around that too, which then leaves me on a, like I say, a low frequency, a low vibration, where I'm then making bad decisions again, usually like running away from my problems. Shame comes in and hits you right where it hurts, when you're feeling like you should have done better, you know. Shame around not being sensible or not saving more money than I should have done, or making bad financial decisions and buying gear when I should have been just keep not trying to scale up so quickly. Bad choices that I've made when my emotions were actually running the show back before my motorcycle accident, really, when I thought I knew exactly what was cutting and I was making great decisions, but I look back and some of the things that I did out of fear, really, I was thinking, I'm nervous because it matters. You know, that's such an athlete thing to say. It's like, are you nervous? Yeah, good, because it matters. You should be nervous. No, that's my body screaming at me to be like, actually, you shouldn't be making this decision. You're an idiot. You're working with your emotions. Not you're an idiot. That's not a very nice thing to say to yourself. You got to give yourself a bit more love than that. Especially when I think now how much of my mind I was using, my mind was using me rather to maintain that kind of shameful state. But sort of how do you regulate it? I don't know how you regulate shame exactly, just other than being aware of it to begin with, and then kind of sussing out where it might have been given to you, and then forgiving that area too, and then just saying, look, this isn't me, these are thoughts, this isn't me, you know. But why have I sort of become interested in this whole shame thing is because with my therapist we've been going through trying to figure out what is it that limits me, you know, in my life, and what's holding me back, and what brings me into a lower frequency, which then stops me from making good decisions or stops me from doing anything really. And shame is definitely one of the main things. Now, shame, it's, according to experts, it's, and I can vouch for this too, it's one of the most horrible feelings that you can actually experience. It's like a feeling of not being good enough, like you're worthless, or that you're a bad person, it feels really intense in your body. It's very physiologically shocking. And is the thing that is mostly putting me into a state of panic in my body. When I spiral down, you get sucked into that vortex, you know, when you just, yeah, it's a horrible feeling. And shame and guilt are actually two different things. So feeling guilty for something is like, oh shit, I feel guilty because I know I shouldn't have done that. It's kind of like regretting what you've done, which is definitely something that's not a nice feeling. Nobody wants to feel guilt. But then once if you're feeling guilty, about something specific that you've done, you usually want to make a change or make up for it in a sense. So that's guilt. I tend to bypass guilt completely and head directly to shame. Guilt is doing something bad, and shame is the feeling that you are bad, you know? So doing something bad is like, oh, I feel guilty for that thing I did. And shame is like, I'm just a bad person. Like, that's because of me. But shame is here for a reason. We wouldn't want to get rid of shame, you know, out of our lives, even if we could. We don't have a choice. We can't get rid of shame. It's not going anywhere. We're not born with shame. We learn it when we're young, when we're a child. But shame, it teaches us as children the basics, I think, of like how to get by in society. If you tell off a child, for doing something embarrassing. Like when I'm like a little kid, imagine me running around, I was probably a nightmare. Ask me mum. She'll definitely tell you I was a nightmare, but imagine I'm running around as a kid. I don't know what's what, and I just pick up like some poo, like dog poo. Imagine we're in a park and I just pick up dog poo. Straight away, mum will come over, shame me for that, because obviously, as a good parent, mum wants to teach me that it ain't okay to just go around picking up dog poo. not cool. So that's useful shaming, you know? You definitely don't want your kid like running around doing certain things in public, because when they grow up, they need to learn that you have to, it's easier for you to survive. In fact, it's imperative for your survival to have social skills. So it's okay to shame your child for things. Like, that's how we feel. Like, we definitely need to remember that picking up dog poo is not cool when we get older, or ever. So yeah, it's kind of important for living in groups, you know. So shame is like, it's important. People who feel shame or embarrassed are usually more liked in social situations as well. You know, when someone's like got no shame and they don't care, people don't tend to like them quite so much. But if you get embarrassed about stuff and you're like, feel shamed about this, that and the other, and people see that, they have more empathy for you and you're generally more liked in society. For example, if you break the law, I don't know what kind of example I'd use for breaking the law, but imagine you accidentally ran someone over with your car. They're not dead, by the way, they just got a little bruise on their shins because it was only in a car park and you weren't going very fast anyway. You didn't even see them, and for some reason the beepers didn't go off when you were reversing. Anyway, you ran over a granny in a car park. It's against the law. If you show shame and remorse for running over the granny in the car park, you're going to get a lighter sentence. So, whereas if you sit there going, well, the beepers didn't go off and she shouldn't have been there anyway, and what was she doing in a car park at 3 a.m. when I was just trying to do donuts with my mates? Then you're going to get a big old, you're going to get a big sentence. So you got to learn shame in order to get by, you know. Yeah, it's a human feeling. It's something that we all need to feel. It's part of being a human. Part of the wonderful experience of being a human, I might add. And if you don't feel shame, I'm pretty sure, or you're not capable of feeling shame, I'm pretty sure that's called a psychopath. So, nobody wants to be that guy. So yeah, shame's not all bad. So not enough shame, or no shame, is actually a problem. But you can, of course, have too much shame. Falling into the pit of shame can bring your frequency right down, bringing a physiological response of feeling terrible. But when shame becomes a trait, it becomes embedded in your personality. That's like, there's a narrative going on in your head, conscious or unconscious. Sometimes we're aware of it, most of the time we're not. I certainly haven't been aware of it for my whole life until recently. So it can be an unconscious narrative of shame. And yeah, it tells me that sometimes I'm unworthy. Maybe I'm a broken human. I'm not good enough. Or I can show up in all sorts of different ways. And for me, I can be a right perfectionist sometimes. I think that's true of artists generally. Not just artists, anybody really. So when I don't hit like my very high standards, in comes that feeling of shame, like, oh, I should have done more, or I should have known about that at least. Like, a classic one for me is like, you should have known, bro. Like, what were you thinking? Come on. That's a horrible voice that goes on in my head. And before, I was aware of my thoughts and dissociating from them, I just felt terrible because I was like, you know what, you're right. I am a terrible person and I should have known better, and all of these things just compound that feeling, and then you kind of get stuck in it really, and then it can ruin your whole day just by one thing happening that just reminds you of something that isn't even happening right now. put you in a feeling of shame, just a memory. But my personal favorite that I now know is actually like self-sabotage, kind of, yeah, goes like this. Like in my mind, I've been noting this down, actually, when I've been aware. It's just the voice goes, "Of course that happened. What did you expect? Why do you always have to learn the hard way?" Another one is, "Don't you want to be big and strong when you grow up, like as a kid?" That one for me was like always a heavy hitter, because I was like, fuck, yes, I want to be big and strong. Of course I want to be big and strong. Like, well, you better eat your greens. And it's like, oh, what else do I have to do to be big and strong? Like, what else should I feel shameful about? Also, another classic that I didn't get this quite so much, but I know people do, saying where parents say to you, like, why can't you just be more like your sister? Or why can't you just be more like your brother? Or why can't you just be more like your friend who's doing really well in his exams and doesn't get in trouble with the teacher? That was me. Like, that kind of tone. It's more of a tone thing, I think. Like, the way you say things can be shameful. But shame can also come from actions, like when you have to be shown how to do something. So, or when you have to be shown how to do something properly and everybody's waiting for you. Or like, for example, when you're a kid and you're like trying to dress yourself, and obviously you don't know how to dress yourself because you're a kid. But if you're like shamed for taking too long and everybody's waiting, it can be really stressful. And then for me, every time I'm like trying to get my stuff together because people are waiting for me by the car because we're going somewhere, I often end up forgetting stuff because I'm like feeling shame that I'm holding everybody up and I'm disorganized, and it's just a bit of a vicious cycle, really. You know, basically the feeling of like, oh, fuck, I'm stopping everybody from getting on with their day. Well, basically when you're learning anything new, actually, if you feel like you're inconveniencing someone because you're learning something new, that's shame. Like, there shouldn't be any shame in learning something new. It's your first time. Like, give yourself a break. Often when you feel like you're holding everybody up, well, you probably are, but like, if you feel like you're the last person in the group to learn how to do something, like, you shouldn't feel shame for that, and you shouldn't be made to feel shameful by your group either, by people like looking at their watch being like, how long is it going to take for this guy to catch on? It's such a horrible thing. Just let people learn in their own time. And the thing is, if you're feeling shame whilst you're trying to learn something new, you don't stand a chance at like taking that information on board or progressing at the rate that you should be learning, because you're stuck in this horrible emotion where you can't even concentrate. So having patience with people, and have patience with yourself as well. Coming back to that high expectations and perfectionism and these high standards that I set, I've set myself up for shame because I make it so difficult for myself to even achieve at the level that I would be personally happy with. And then I'm like, ugh, didn't even hit the mark. But yeah, shit. And try not to make people feel like they should have learned this by now. Like, come on. Like, it's just, yeah, it doesn't help the situation at all. Like, what's wrong with you? Horrible things to say, shaming. And yeah, as I was kind of doing a bit more research on shame, and trust me, I am no expert. I'm not a psychologist. I've just been doing my research on something that I feel like I need to work on myself. But I read this thing that says, I read this quote that says, "The way we talk to our children becomes their inner voice," which I thought was really interesting. Things, yeah, again, more phrases like, "What were you thinking?" or "Can't believe you just did that," are classic ways that we can be shamed as even adults. And the problem is compounded when you're a child, because the way we talk to our children becomes their inner voice, like I just said. But a big one for me as a sensitive little Pisces was being told not to cry. So when anyone says, please don't cry, especially in a condescending and judgmental tone, like, oh, please don't start crying again. Like, oh, no. Oh, please. And even as I say that, I'm like, I can remember people like asking me not to cry because, and shaming me for being emotional when I was a kid. Bless little Ben. Fuck. When anybody says, yeah, please don't cry, it really used to leave me feeling like they had zero understanding, firstly, of why I was even upset in the first place. So immediately, if someone's asking you, like, oh, please don't cry, it's like, okay, well, you don't even know why I'm crying, really. Like, you have no understanding of what's going on in my mind, so that made me even more upset. And this lack of empathy, it still leaves me feeling alone. It can still leave me feeling alone in my, like, in a confused, upset state. And then I feel shame that I'm not meant to be this emotional, and, like, especially as a man or a boy, let these little boys cry. Like, this is the thing. Maybe if we had more empathy and gave young men who are upset more comfort, and show them that actually being vulnerable and crying is a human thing, not just a girly thing, then maybe we'd have less fucking psychopaths in the world. I don't know, maybe not. Maybe we need them, everything for a reason. Yeah, being told as a young boy that I'm not supposed to be this emotional was like such a horrible thing to try and consider even. So, and then I was like, well, nobody else cries this much. There must be something wrong with me. Well, I'm just a fucking sensitive dude. Shame, little Ben. And this is not my parents, by the way. This is not me having a jab at my parents or parenting or anything like that. It's actually at school. I remember being shamed mostly at school for things. And now, if I'm crying or I'm upset, that same feeling can sometimes wash over me. And if I'm unaware of what's going on in my mind and I'm not particularly conscious, as that like comes back in with like, what's wrong with me? Why do I always get so upset? And this is compounded and made way worse if this shit goes down in public. I've got here in my notes embarrassing story about my sister. I was on holiday once. Our family was on holiday with another family, and this other family had a son and a daughter, and me and my sister were friends with them. And it was a skiing holiday, and I remember being in a really like nice restaurant in the evening, and I think I must have been like, I don't know, flipping 12 or 13, maybe 14 years old, and I think I was like 13. And we sat around this table, and the son of the other family was also a kayaker, and he was faster than me, and I was like friends with him, but he was older than me. I thought he was really cool because he was faster than me, and like his name is also Ben, and he's also a really cool dude. But I like held him in like high regard. Like, I wanted to be friends with him. Like, I didn't want to be like have anything embarrassing happen around him or near him that would think he was, that I wasn't cool, you know. Anyway, sat there, I'm explaining a story to everybody, and everybody's watching me, and I'm talking about kayaking or something that's in it. Everybody's engaged, and I'm happy, and everybody's quiet, and then my sister, who's sat next to me, just goes, Ben, stop a second. You've got a massive ball of wax in your ear. And I looked across at her and I was like, how dare you? Like, I was like, could not believe how I was so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed. And I was so embarrassed that I like ran to the bathroom and cried, like, being shamed for having a ball of wax by my little sister in front of these people whom I'm trying to get to respect me because they're cool and I want them to like me. Yeah, it was a nightmare. So yeah, if you're a little sister and you see your brother's got a ball of wax in his ear, tell him, but not whilst he's telling a story in front of people he's trying to impress, the poor bastard. So yeah, but something I'm working on right now personally for me is also setting my expectations. So classic me, set my expectations high, everything has to be world class, and this is classic athlete, post athlete, something I'm having to learn. Expectation is the thief of joy. I've been learning this a lot recently and actually been really sitting in a lot of happiness in situations that previously I would have been really stressed about. Often setting expectations high will help me rise to an occasion, definitely, and it has done in the past for sure. Like I had certain expectations around the race, international races that I went and did, which helped me sort of achieve the goals that I was setting out to achieve, you know. And it also, like, having expectations can help you learn new skills and become proficient at whatever it is that you're attempting to do, you know. You, like, if you have no expectation at all of being able to achieve anything, then you'll never even get started. So the expectation has to be there, but it just has to be managed. And also, a lot of things are completely out of our control, you know. And so understanding that will help you laugh in a situation that would once otherwise have made you super angry. Certainly for me, anyway. But yeah, the shaming that goes on in my head is very effective at bringing my frequency down, because that voice has, like, that certain tone to it. Like, I think that the tone is kind of everything when you're explaining something, for example, to a kid who's just picked up dog poo. Obviously, the tone is really important. Like, do not, oh my God, do not pick up that dog poo. Oh, disgust. Oh, put it down. I'm not in your mouth. No, anyway. and like, if I hear that tone, it also can trigger shame in me as well, which brings me right back to my inner child, and make me feel like a kid again, and then bring me down. And yeah, it's not a nice feeling. I catch myself slipping into those thoughts sometimes that I'm now aware didn't serve me or don't serve me. Those thoughts of shame that just aren't helping me in life, really. Like, they're holding me back, and they're not mine anyway. And so I've started to try and change the narrative that goes on in my head to one of more like compassion and love and understanding and empathy and forgiveness, all of these nice things. So I'm just giving myself a whole bunch of love up in my head, in my mind. And when you forgive yourself for these things that have happened, that's when the shame disappears and that feeling disappears of unworthiness, and that horrible low vibration actually comes up to one of, like, happiness and love and peace, which is generally what happens when you sort of observe your thoughts as a witness and dissociate yourself from them and say, that's not me. And then when you think about that, you can also think about everybody else is in the same boat, because we all have a mind and we all have conditioning to some extent. And then when you see someone in anger, you can actually, all you're seeing is their, what Eckhart Tolle in A New Earth likes to call, the pain body. You're seeing someone's pain body reacting and feeding off of an angry situation. And you can say, and you think, that's not them. And that's much easier to forgive them, because a lot of the time, in fact, all of the time, everybody is only doing their best. And if you go around with that sort of attitude, it's so much easier to love people, trust me. I think it became like kind of normal and cool to sort of decide and talk about how I don't like people. No, I don't like people. Don't get on with people. Oh, it's too people-y in here. And that's kind of something that I adopted when I was younger. So I was like, actually, you lot are really not on the same wavelength as me at all, a lot of the time. And that kind of judgment, that is not a nice feeling and energy to be putting out there. And of course, I'm just going to receive that back anyway. So just understanding that people also aren't their thoughts, just the same as you, makes for a much more peaceful existence, I've been finding recently. It makes it easy, super easy, to forgive people and just give them love, you know? So yeah. And also, if you don't love yourself fully, then you can't love other people fully either. That's kind of what that means. It's like, if you can't even forgive yourself for feeling bad or for the mistakes that you've made, if you can't even forgive yourself, how can you begin to really forgive other people? Oh, this tea's starting to get a little bit cold now. Okay. Coming back to the perfectionism thing, I've been doing a bit of thinking about this and a bit of journaling about it. I think that sometimes perfectionism can be developed from a feeling of like not being good enough, which for me is a pretty real feeling. I'm that guy that says like, don't let perfection get in the way of progress. But sometimes I just think, oh fuck, I won't even bother trying at all unless I can be amazing at it. That's classic me. Like, I just won't even bother starting because I don't have time to be the best at that. So I'm not even going to bother having a go at it once. It's a weird kind of fear of failure. It's really a fear of shame, actually. Like, it's not so much a fear of failure. Fear of failure, yes, but a fear of the shame that you feel when you have let yourself down. Like, I'm not even going to try that because it's just another thing for me to not be the best at. It's a weird state of mind, I know. So, despite my achievements in my life, like, I've been marathon kayaking world champion twice, and I've got a silver medal as well, and I've been to a couple of world championships in my time, a couple of European championships, and I got quite close to attending that circus called the Olympics. You can note the bitter resentment in my voice that I didn't make it to the Olympics. We'll talk about that another time. I don't actually have resentment at all. Not anymore, anyway. But yeah, so despite my achievements in my life, I actually struggle now to commit to something publicly for fear of public shaming from the inevitable failures that will come from trying something new and developing skills over time. And then I feel shame for not even trying. And then I'm like, what's wrong with me? I used to be good at stuff. Like, I used to have so much energy and not energy, but like, I used to be like, give me that, I'll fucking have a go at that, you know? So shame definitely is developed in children, but another different types of shame can also be developed in adulthood. So I never used to feel shame for like failing at something. I'd give everything a go. But now, thanks, like, well, the issue for me being really like as being shamed over and over by people in the comment sections who are people with their own issues and their own mind, like pain bodies, they're just projecting that into the comments, projecting them at me, and people who are actually committed, I mean, a lot of these people are actually committed completely to misunderstanding me. So it's easy for me to look back now and just say, yes, okay, I forgive all of you for all of those comments that at the time made me feel terrible. And of course I was like, yeah, fuck the haters. No, like, you can say that all you want, but unless you're in your mind, you're actually like strong enough and you know yourself well enough to not take that shit on board, which I definitely wasn't. I was like pretending that I wasn't taking these comments on board, but really I was reading them and just getting so angry, because I had very little empathy for other people who were angry because I couldn't see the anger in myself. But yeah, that was a difficult one, being shamed publicly, and that's kind of the reason why I didn't really want to make videos after a while as well. Well, part of the reason anyway. I was just fed up of being shamed for not having enough subscribers, or your subscriber count isn't growing, or your views are going down. You must be doing something wrong. All this shaming. But I now know that the opinions of others have actually nothing to do with me. So I'm kind of over that. It took a while. But it does mean that I felt this shaming voice creeping in, like, every time someone pointed out a mistake, or highlighted how I should have done this differently, or if I were you, I wouldn't have made that mistake, or if I was you, I'd still be doing daily videos, putting me down into the shame vortex of low frequency doom. But here's the thing, forgiving yourself is the key. Forgive yourself for all these so-called like shortcomings or failures, and you and me and everybody, we're all doing the best we can at any given moment, and knowing this allows me to forgive myself and others for not meeting expectations that are often way too high anyway, especially in this uber competitive society that we live in, where if you're not at the top of the tree and then like have built a tree house, you're failing. Like, what's going on? Very competitive, and it's all to do with this very masculine movement of growth. Everything must grow, 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 and be better, better, bigger, faster, stronger the whole time. Which is great if you want to build a city, and if you want to build an economy that's growing. But at some stage, you got to just stop and look after yourself and be kind to yourself. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to even get up in the morning to go to work and contribute to this economy. Balance. And until you're even aware of the shame that you might experience, how can you even address it? Like me, it's taken 33 years. Until you're also aware of your own conditioned mind that's actually your mind is shaming you, how can you also address that? So forgive yourself. Everything in good time. Everything is exactly how it's supposed to be. But my recent awareness has taught me a lot about how my preconceived ideas of like what success is, and my expectations around how quickly Ben Brown achieves that success and hits that target. These are the things that are actually holding me back, interestingly. Since I often miss the mark with my high expectations, I'm often disappointed in the outcome. And then guess what? Shame myself with thoughts like, you've become incapable of doing this anymore. The old Ben would have nailed that, which is a classic shame talk from people who don't like to see me change and evolve. Like that when, yeah, it's, that's a deep one. But this talk literally has been holding me in a cycle of shame recently, until I became aware of it. And when things are going badly for me, I get stuck in this like, fuck, why are they going badly for me? Oh, and the voice creeps back in, you know. When things are going well, of course, like I feel like I'm invincible, like I'm untouchable. And that's when I'm like on a high frequency and feeling great and everything's going really well for me in my life. And then one or two setbacks, and I shame myself for not driving forwards and like, oh, you thought you had it all sorted, didn't you? Yeah, what a horrible thing to say to myself. Ouch. And then straight back into the cycle. But shame can be conditioned, even when good things are happening. For example, when you're feeling joy as a child, but your mum and dad just want some peace and quiet, and you're like running around screaming your head off, having the time of your life, and someone's shouting at you, stop making so much noise, and you're having an amazing time, having super loads of fun. Or a common one is also shamed for feeling pleasure. For example, parents, maybe the like more conservative parents that catch their child masturbating, for example. If you're shamed when you're feeling pleasure, that can lead to, or joy, that can lead to difficulty in your adult sexual situations. So shame can limit your joy and your pleasure and even like your courage, I suppose, and your like interest in exploring yourself. And shame really like boxes you in and stops you from experimenting, I guess. Another common one is having sexuality shamed. That's a big one in the world, I think. Or the way you express yourself, be it like joy or anger or fear, of all of these expressions of emotion can be shamed. Not just when you're a child, but also through adulthood too. And if this shaming isn't repaired, so I've been reading about how, of course, shame isn't going anywhere. So it's like, oh, fuck, what do we do then? Well, apparently you can repair shame. So if shaming isn't repaired, we can end up with a limiting, restricting aspect of our personality. So, for example, I think homosexuals have been shamed for many, many years. And certainly, like, things are getting way better as we evolve our consciousness as human beings to love one another a lot more. It's none of my business, actually, what you like to do sexually or who you like to do it with. This is quite a new age thing. So there's like years of built in shame sometimes around sexuality. And that can really restrict one's personality. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm straight, but I mean, everybody's on the spectrum to some extent. So I can kind of imagine imagine if being straight was illegal in some countries, or has been around the world for years, and being shamed for such natural urges, like, of your sexuality. It must be fucking difficult. But yeah, that can really restrict one's personality, and then leave you with like a basic underlying belief that you are bad. I'd just like to interject at this stage and just remind you guys that I'm not an expert or a psychologist, and this is all just stuff that I've learned recently that I've found super useful in understanding why my inner child feels rejected or worthy of love or happiness or these things that I'm aiming for in my life, and these high frequency like good feelings of harmony in my life, like why do I feel I'm worthy of them sometimes, and this is even on a subconscious level. So, and once I can better understand the inner child dialogues, then I can better understand how they affect my behavior and my environment. So, there's many reasons and causes for shame. And of course, everybody's journey is super unique. And if parents or caregivers don't connect or respond or create secure attachments with children, with their children. Like this probably creates the deepest sense of unworthiness. From a very young age, this can happen like automatically, and you absorb, when you're a small child, you absorb these things like a sponge. And I think from what I understand, it's incredibly important that you create secure attachments with like your children, if you are a parent. Now, I'm not a parent, so it's probably parents out there who are just like, yeah, you try, try parenting. I'm going to try parenting, hopefully one day. But for now, I'm just kind of covering this topic, so don't get upset. But yeah, that's all of us. Like, all of us, to some extent, have some kind of experience in our childhood that is leaving us with a sense of shame. And this feeling of being unlovable can, like, it can become a narrative that actually drives your existence, drives your life. We then live out this life of not being deserving of love. Let me just take a sip of my tea. So I can't speak from experience because I'm not actually a parent, like I say, but if unresponsiveness in parents leads to a child feeling unworthy or unlovable, surely the global issue of being addicted to our phones could actually be leaving children wanting whilst parents are scrolling, like me. Like, if I was a parent now, I'd be like, well, I'd like to think that I'd be giving my child more attention than I'd be giving to Instagram, but certainly on occasion there'd be times when I'd be scrolling like I do, and when probably the child wants attention. If the child isn't getting attention, I'm literally blank facing a screen. That's going to leave probably a feeling of like that in the child that it's unlovable. Yeah, I mean, the more I dig deep into this, the more I'm kind of learning about interpersonal biology or interpersonal neurobiology, which is about when. I think, now correct me if I'm wrong, please, in the feedback in your Instagram stories. But interpersonal neurobiology is where a child will form a loving attachment and be seen by the parent, which then makes it feel like it's lovable. And if you don't give that to the child, then it feels unlovable. Like if you're explaining to someone, I guess, like a story, like one of your favorite stories, and you're all animated, and you got to excuse the doggos in the background making some noise. So you're explaining a story, all animated and excited about it, and the person is just looking at you completely blank back. That feeling of like, you're not interested at all in what I'm saying, and it probably can bring back feeling of like a feeling of childhood shame from when you were doing something that wasn't impressing your parents and they weren't giving you the attention that you're after, or the love that you were after. But flip, we've been talking about shame for a while now, and I'm pretty done with it, although it's been really nice to verbally process it. And please, if you're a psychologist or an expert, do feel free to give me feedback on what I've been talking about. And please do take everything I say with a pinch of salt and know that I do not have a qualification to be talking about psychology like this. I'm just telling you about my own personal experiences. So yeah, that's the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And I will be finishing A New Earth most likely in the next few days. And I'll speak about, I'm getting, like, it gets better and better and better as you go through A New Earth. I'll be speaking about sort of doing, I guess, like a book review in a sense, probably a really short, concise one. Although that's not what I'm known for, being concise. And if you want to try anything in your, like, add anything into your routine in your life that that is like has a calming impact on you and your emotions, I highly recommend exploring meditation and journaling and just getting into breath work a little bit more, into breathing, which yoga is also really good for. Being at one with the moment. Because I think when you're focusing on your breath, that's forcing you to kind of be in the moment a little bit more. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. And maybe let me know what you would like me to talk about on these podcasts also. I'm planning to get some guests in again and do a couple of Q&A's. And I've already spoken to Ella, my partner, about doing another podcast, because that was an incredibly successful one for both of us. And she's also been doing some amazing podcasts. Shout out to Ella. Look for her podcast. It's called Rewilding. It's got like a pink logo. Rewilding. It's amazing for men and women. I've listening to them and I'm learning so much. So go check those out. And yeah, don't forget to listen to the Jumps and Ben podcast, the last one, if you haven't already. Thank you for subscribing to this podcast. And if there are any tea companies out there that want to sponsor, I drink a lot of tea. I'm just saying, like, I could do with saving some money. And merchandise also is coming out soon. Apologies for the delays in getting the new merch out. I know a lot of you guys have been asking, when's it coming? Have I missed it? Because usually my merch sells out in like 48 hours. I'm also going to be bringing back the time versus intensity for a limited run. But the new merch is coming out soon. We're just sorting the shipping out because there was a whole bunch of nightmares with the last batch. We want to get that shit on lock. But yeah, I love you guys unconditionally. And I'll see you in the DMs, mother truckers. I love you. Goodbye.